Hi everyone, my name's Steve Tudor and welcome to the Premier League show. It's a show that really doesn't want to talk about Wales v Poland. It didn't happen. Let's move on. On today's pod, we'll be looking back a little bit on the international break, but mainly looking ahead as the final straight of the Premier League season opens up ahead of us. There's also a pretty significant clash at the Etihad this Sunday to discuss too. So let's get straight to it by introducing my guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ali. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thanks, Steve. It's good to be here. It's Good Friday as well. So
yes, indeed.
Shall I do my annual Good Friday joke? It probably works better on Twitter than it does on a podcast. But I'll go for it anyway. Who are you? Why do you bring this man unto me? He is your king, not mine. Shall we crucify him? Yes, folks. It's international talk like a pilot today.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even sure that we're well on Twitter.
On the contrary, I've told it on Twitter every year for the last 10 years and I get at least 300 retweets every time. I'll make an appointment to do it again later.
Yeah, that speaks less of Twitter than it does about the joke itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've got to admit, before we get to the football, I'm going all guns blazing this Easter. The diet starts next week. And so, with that in mind, I'm going to demolish so many Easter eggs this weekend.
Did you see Nigel Farage on Twitter, that their Twitter yesterday?
No.
I'm afraid you're here in good company. He was standing, or a photo of him with a huge Easter egg in front of him saying, I am going to eat this like whole Easter egg all by myself just to annoy the health Nazis at the NHS.
Oh, God. It always has to be that angle, doesn't it? Why can't he just enjoy chocolate?
I know. Anyway, I would not wish illness on anyone, but if he wakes up with diabetes on Tuesday morning, then it serves him bloody right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I am going to get very sensible after Easter. I've decided a bit of a health kick and all the rest of it, but this weekend, it's football, it's chocolate, and pretty much that's it, I think. Talking of which, we've got to start with Sunday's big game. City-Arsenal. Now, Arsenal have scored, in 2024, 33 goals, which is 15 more than City. They've conceded, this is the worrying one for me, really, and they've conceded just four times since the new year. Do you think they'll basically come to City playing the same style of football that they have done to this point, or will it be the more cautious Arsenal we've seen in the past?
I honestly don't know. I don't think they'll be overly cautious. I think they'll be a lot more confident this year than last year or previous years. But I'm only hoping that we are in their heads. You know, like they've had some chastening experiences at the Etihad in recent years, and you don't lose that quickly. I think it is striking how different this Arsenal team is this year. To not only previous years, but particularly last year. And it's interesting because I don't think they're actually as good as they were in the first half of last year, when they were absolutely flying and, you know, playing like kind of 1970 Brazil at times and just, you know, doing all kinds of spectacular things and before they went off the rails. This year, they've been much more together. They've been very consistent in the way they're playing. As you say, they've been incredibly tight at the back in the second half of the season. I have to say, credit where due, I think Declan Rice is turning out to be one of the great Premier League signings. I think the last time a player went in and made such a dramatic single-handed difference to an entire team was probably Van Dijk at Liverpool a few years ago. He has been immense this year. It's been... I say it as a City fan, at times it's been a privilege to watch just how elegant and controlled he is. And, you know, facing an Arsenal with Declan Rice in the middle will be a different story to how it's been even at the Etihad. I cannot lie. I'm nervous about this one. It's a huge one and it's a really, really difficult one for us.
Yeah, I would like... And I don't think this will be the case, but I would like them to be the cautious Arsenal we've seen in the past, where they basically turned up semi-defeated before the opening whistle.
Yeah.
As you say, I think that fear factor has gone now. I think they are more confident, more together, more balanced. And of course, you know, they beat us earlier in the season as well. So that was a statement win, I think, in terms of their kind of psychology and how they're going to approach this game. Yeah, I agree with you on Declan Rice. You know what really impresses me about Declan Rice, and I've said this on the pod before, but it's worth bearing out, I think. If you're £100 million kind of, you know, Neymar type player, you know, a kind of flashy winger or whoever it may be, then you can basically, you know, show off all your tricks, you score all your goals, do all your fancy stuff, and justify your £100 million price tag. If you're a holding midfielder, that is exceedingly difficult to do, because what you have to do is go in there and be almost unnoticed in some games.
Totally.
But do it really well. And I think that is his biggest achievement, the fact that he has just kept his game, felt no need to kind of be flashy or you know, take any risks. I've got to say, yeah, I do admire that about him greatly. Let's hope he has a stinker, of course. how crucial a factor is Saka's fitness for Arsenal? He is, I mean, we'll know far more at this lunchtime, but to my mind at this point, he's 50-50. Looks like he's going to play or feature, but will he be, you know, the explosive Bukayo Saka that we know of, or will he be a bit, you know, bit aware of the injury that he's carrying? I mean, it's a big factor for them, isn't it? He's so important to them.
This is one of the strange things about coming back to a Premier League weekend after an international break.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it feels like this international break has gone on for about 2 months. And I'm sure it's not just me. It's been a huge one, and it came at the worst possible time for everyone. And it makes it really difficult to know where anyone's fitness is. And yeah, this will be true of, yeah, it's true of our team and Arsenal's and all the other games across the league this weekend. So I really don't know. Obviously, he's a huge player for them. He's the source of a large proportion of their creativity and their X factor, you know, when they show that, and without him. They've got very good cover. When Martinelli both has either injured or drop in form, I think he's unequivocally injured. I think he was on crutches a couple of weeks ago, so I don't think there's any chance he'll be playing. But when Martinelli and Saka are both on form, then that's an incredible amount of flair and danger coming down either side. When Martinelli's out, they can replace him with Trossard quite well, and Trossard's a good player. He hasn't quite been at the heights this year, I think, that he had in a year or two before, but he's still, you know, a real danger, and I think scored a really good goal for his country over the break as well. So yeah, he's still a danger. I can't remember who they'll be using to cover Saka on the right if Saka isn't injured, but it's no one that fills me with quite as much dread or concern. So yeah, obviously it's going to be a big miss for them if he's not there. That said, again, Arsenal are not now playing like a team of individual flair. They are playing like a team.
Yeah.
So I would assume that the Arteta will, you know, have a plan for us, even if Saka isn't there. So it's difficult when we come back after a couple of weeks off and we don't know how fit anyone is. And as you say, we're doing this on Friday morning and we've yet to hear the press conferences, so we don't know what the team news is. But yeah, there's one bit of me, there's this fair-minded sports fan within me that we'd quite like to see the best possible Arsenal team against the best possible City team, and have a true clash of the Titans. But actually, the bitter blue with a City scarf around my neck is praying to all heavens that Saka will be out, because it would be a huge plus one in our column if Saka's not fit on Sunday. So yeah, we'll see.
Particularly with the injuries that we've got going into this game, and, you know, particularly at the back as well. Kyle Walker is a severe doubt. John Stones is out. Akanji is a big doubt too. Rico Lewis can come in, of course. Gvardiol can play at the back. Nathan Ake can play at left back, and he has form for keeping Saka quiet.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, these are big names, aren't they? And a lot of rejigging is going to be necessary, I think, for Pep.
Yeah, I mean, if those three are all out, then we are absolutely stretched to the wire. We can actually, I mean, as you just said, we can put out that back four, and then Rico Lewis coming into the midfield, as I think he probably would, and play with a, you know, basically three centre backs.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, again, we're talking before the press conferences, we may find out later, but my suspicion is none of them will be ready. I mean, it would be incredibly unusual for a player to limp off after a few minutes of a game and then be back less than a week later. You know, it might be only the teensiest little hamstring spasm that they've had, but they still, you know, at the very earliest, I think we're talking about back midweek, which would be about a 10-day break for Stones and Walker particularly. I don't know anything about Akanji. I didn't even see how he was limping when I went off.
I didn't see. I'm going to set my hand on that one. When it comes to John Stones and his kind of the nature of the injury, the fact that it was in a second consecutive England friendly in a short period of time, where do you allocate blame there? Is it on the player? Is it on Southgate? Or is it indeed on City, who maybe should have just stepped in beforehand and said, okay, we don't want John Stones playing both games, you know, given that both are friendlies?
Yeah, I find this really difficult. I mean, I was a bit surprised that Stones was picked to start.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Southgate doesn't want him to get injured either. Let's be fair about this. There was only 3 days between the two games. If he'd been playing for City, would he have played those, you know, two starts in 3 days? Possibly not, but maybe he would. On the other hand, you know, the old cliche, you know, players can break their leg getting out of the shower, and they can certainly get injured in training, and they do all the time. I think when Walker went down in the England game, you could see that he just put in a full 100% top speed Walker sprint and turned really quickly to block a ball on the line. And you can totally understand why that can stretch a hamstring or a muscle when you do that. The Stones one was awkward. He just kind of, he twisted a little bit and he did a little something, and obviously it looked like something popped, or he felt like something might have done. And, you know, the fact that it was, 8 minutes into the game suggests that it was something that could easily have happened in training. And you know, had there not been an international break at all, he would probably have been playing for City and the same thing might have happened. So it's all ifs, whats and whenevers, you know, we really don't know. I remember I've said something very similar before, but as someone who's a fan of international football, I accept that players have to go away and play for their country. And if you're an England fan and you want, neither of us are, most of our listeners will be. We've got a very privileged position today, you and me, Steve.
We've done well so far, haven't we? We have. All credit to us both.
From the point of view of the England fans listening, you don't want to go to a tournament with your players never having played with each other before.
Yeah.
And you can't hope to fully prepare for a tournament with a couple of games in the, you know, 2 weeks of practice time before. So you need international breaks and the players need to play together, and Southgate needs to try things out. And it's not as simple as saying John Stones is a nailed-on starter for England, so therefore he doesn't need to play. You know, Southgate knows what he can do and knows what he brings. And yeah, that's true. But what Southgate doesn't know is, for example, how Kobbie Mainoo plays when Stones is behind him.
Yeah, because and alongside, you know, Dunk as well.
And all those other combinations. Because, you know, so when you're putting out, in this case, an England team, you do need, you know, quite a core of your first choice starters so that you can try out the other players around them.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. And I've said before, as a fan of international football, if it's not an if, it actually happened this week, you know, that if Scott McTominay and Andy Robertson go back to their clubs with their hamstrings twanging a rendition of Dueling Banjos, then I am not going to lose a moment of sleep. So it feels really, you know, hypocritical to say, oh yeah, I don't mind that Andy Robertson goes down injured, but I do object strongly that John Stones does. You know, we're all fans of all clubs are in the same boat. We're all dreading, particularly at the top end, the top six, we've got lots of international players all going off. And, you know, honestly, across the Premier League, they might not all be playing for England, they might not even be playing for Scotland or Wales, but an awful lot of them are going off to play for Croatia or Estonia or, you know, whatever your Brighton and Brentford players are playing from. You know, international breaks affect everyone, and it is just part of the risks. We are all up in arms whenever Southgate doesn't pick a Phil Foden or a Rico Lewis or whatever. So why aren't you picking our team, our players to play for your England team? And then when he does and they get injured, we're like, why did you pick our player to play for your England team? We can't have it both ways. International football is part of the football calendar and it's part of the schedule for top players, and they have to handle the risks. And one thing I will say is I never, ever, ever blame the player for going out and playing when their national manager asks them to.
That's not fair.
Yeah. It's not fair to put that on a player to actually turn around and say, no, sod off, I'm not starting two games in a week. Players need to do what their managers say, and that's true at club level, but it's also true at international level. So absolutely no issue with John Stones himself at all, or Kyle or anyone else. What I hope is that the national managers, and more importantly, their doctors, their physios, their technical teams, are holding player safety and freedom from injury at the absolute top of their list of priorities. If they are doing that, and if they are being incredibly sensible and taking every available precaution, and then players go down injured anyway, then that's just something that happens, and there's really nothing you can do about it.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.